Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here talking story every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then the interviews are posted as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, our guest is Hawaii County Police Chief Paul Ferreira. Chief Ferreira joined the Hawaii Police Department in 1982 and has worked as a patrol officer and a detective and held lots of different positions in the Administrative Bureau, including Assistant Chief. He was Deputy Chief, Second in Command under our last Police Chief, Harry Kubojiri. And when Chief Kubojiri retired at the end of December 2016, Paul Ferreira was named as Chief. Good morning. Aloha, Chief.
Good morning. Aloha.
Chief, please just remind us of some of the basic details of Hawaii County Police Department. How many folks do you have, sworn, civilian, things like that?
Right now, the department is made up of 450 sworn positions, and we have 144 non-sworn positions, civilians, that work in full-time. These do not include our school crossing guards, which are part-time. So we're looking at about 594 personnel.
Chief Ferreira, you've been chief for just over a year now, and I'd just like to know, in the last year, what kind of policies, procedures, goals, what is Hawaii County Police Department looking like now? What may be different from the way it was before? You know, what are your priorities?
I was very fortunate in taking the job of the police chief. In this department, I didn't take over a job with any controversy. I didn't take any job over that we had any real major issues out there. So it was a real easy conversion, taking over the position of police chief. We've established a good rapport with the community, with our community policing programs. During the last year, we've carried on these programs, and that's what we try to instill in all our officers. Do the community policing philosophy, keep it moving forward. I was very fortunate, again, that the foundation for the Hawaii Police Department was set a while ago under Chief Kubojiri and prior to that, Chief Mahuna. They all moved this department into a future, into a new direction. So just to build on that foundation is what we've been doing. We haven't changed anything. We haven't started anything new. We just expanded what we were doing. Our Neighborhood Watch Program. In May of 2017, we brought on Bobby St. Ambrosia. She was with the prosecutor's office. She worked with the civil defense on their programs, the CERT program. So we brought her on as a Neighborhood Watch coordinator for us. She's out there. You may see her. She's a retired police chief from the mainland. She's out there pushing the Neighborhood Watch Program for us. Another thing that we enhanced, we didn't change, we just enhanced it, is our Hawaii's Most Wanted, the program that we were pushing out, identifying individuals out there that the police are seeking, they're having difficulty with. The way we enhance that program now is you have a 10-minute segment where you have an officer addressing certain issues that come up. Recently, we were doing the telephone scams. We did a piece on dispatch. We did a piece during the holidays on drunk driving, all those issues. So that's another thing that we've done to enhance the image of the police department. I've said it before, and I'll say it again to anyone that asks me, that the Hawaii Island community should be very proud of the police department that they do have. And in all respect for the other departments, I say that our officers are second to none in the state.
Well, that's good, because I think a lot of people agree with you. You know, you mentioned community policing, and just last Wednesday, somebody the day before had actually called in a very vague threat to Kona Waena Elementary School. And I know that the community policing officers were all at Kona Waena Elementary School that Wednesday morning starting at 7. And I had phone calls from folks who were parents saying, yay, thank you, we felt very comfortable taking our children to school. And you know, when you talk about community policing, it's the visibility and the being there that I think really is an excellent thing. So thank you for that, because I know just last week we saw an example of it.
Yes, and you know, everybody looks at community policing and they look at it and it's an officer. Officer so-and-so is our community policing officer. Community policing is a philosophy. It's getting the entire department, patrol division, and the officers out there talking to the community, working with the community to solve problems. Yes, we did have officers respond to the Kona Waena Elementary School on the threats that were made. And again, about a couple weeks ago, if you recall, there was threats made to Kona Waena and as well as Pahoa. that same day. We did have extra personnel go out there. We were very fortunate that we knew who the callers were. We knew we had identified who the people that were making these threats or posting threats on Facebook and other social media. But to bring calm to the public and just to show their presence, we went out. We made sure that we had officers on the schools, not saying that there was a viable threat that was going to happen, but just to calm everyone down. Our dispatch center was inundated with phone calls when that was posted on social media. I got calls the evening prior at about 9, 10 o'clock, so we pushed out a Nixle alert as well to tell the community that, yes, we were going to enhance our presence at the schools.
You know, that leads me into a question that, as you know, at the national level, some are suggesting that it might be a great idea to arm our teachers. I have talked numerous times with the head of your special response team, which is like the SWAT team. From your perspective, Chief Ferreira, I don't think that will happen here in Hawaii, but should that happen, how would that change how the Hawaii County Police Department would respond if they know that there are armed plainclothes personnel on a school campus?
If we were notified ahead of time that they were planning to do this, we would put in opposition to this program. Having someone there, even though they're trained just with a firearm, puts an extra liability on the school, puts a liability on our officers. We have no idea when they're going into an active shooter scenario, who is a shooter, who may be a possible shooter. That's why if you look on news accounts when they have active shooter incidents going on, even though the students or the individuals that are at the program are innocent, they bring them out with their hands up in the air. They make them not carry any bags because you can identify that they may be victims. So having individuals in the schools that are armed, it creates a greater hazard to the community and its schools as well. If you look at an officer's duty belt, he does not have only a firearm, or he or she, I should clarify that. They have pepper spray, baton, the taser. They have all these items at their disposal prior to using deadly force. So deadly force is the last option. Someone in a school with just a firearm, they have no other choice, a gun or their hands. That's it. In my opinion, that is a recipe for disaster in a school.
Thank you, Chief. That actually adds a little more information than I even had before, the fact that police officers do come with a whole variety of options to fight any particular threat. Now, you mentioned that since becoming chief, you haven't changed a lot, and I noticed that you are wearing your Kalea accreditation pin on your uniform, as do all members of Hawaii County Police Department. And I know that that was something that Chief Kobujiri and everybody in the department, including yourself, worked really hard to achieve because that sets adherence to a national standard relative to policies, procedures, evidence handling, protocols. Are you intending to keep up the accreditation program?
Most definitely. I was fortunate enough to attend the last accreditation conference in Miami, Florida in 2015, representing Chief Kobujiri. Our next accreditation will be coming up in 2019, which is a year away, and we definitely will be going forward with that. Although the state of Hawaii does not have what is called a POST, a Police Officer Standardized Training Academy, the state of Hawaii has four departments that are all Kalea certified, Kauai being the last one to come on board. Being that case, last year it was established across the state with a committee of all the Kalea managers from the state of Hawaii, joining with the Kalea managers on the West Coast and the Western Region representative for Kalea to make a committee overseeing our state for the program.
Now, Chief, one of the concerns of folks here on Hawaii Island is drugs, because we hear a lot about crimes committed because of drugs or just people who are drug addicts and just the whole issue surrounding that. So the first thing I want to ask you about, I know that recently you were in Washington, D.C. with other police chiefs from around the country, plus some federal law enforcement partners, attending what's called the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Conference. I'd like you to tell us what you may have gleaned from that that will help the force here on Hawaii Island relative to drug issues.
The conference was twofold. It was also the National Narcotic Officers Association Coalition Conference. I shouldn't say it was a conference, it was a meeting, because more so the direction for that was to meet with our congressional leaders. We met with Senator Schatz, Senator Hirono, Representative Hanabusa, and Representative Tulsi Gabbard. So we met with all of them, identifying to them the issues that we have in the state of Hawaii. One of the major issues is our drug issue is crystal meth, methamphetamine. If you recall back in the 2006, 5, 6 area when it first came to light, there was a strong push nationwide to curb the use of crystal meth, getting rid of the ice houses, getting rid of the manufacturers. After a while, it died down, and everybody thought, okay, it went away, the problem went away. Well, the problem never did go away, and we identified that to our leaders, saying that, okay, we still have this problem. Hawaii is part of a high-intensity drug trafficking area, it's identified. Part of that is asking federal funding to combat ICE, combat all the drug trafficking that goes on in the state. The reason for being part of this coalition in Washington was to address this with the congressional leaders, as well as learn from other HIDTA agencies what is going on across the nation. And we're pretty much in tune with everyone.
We hear a lot about opioids as a big problem, but is meth the worst? And, you know, give us more information about that. What drugs are causing the biggest problems here?
Well, right now, if you look across the state, crystal meth is the biggest threat that we have. After that is marijuana. After that, it's heroin, cocaine. Those are still prevalent in the island, but it's not as big a threat. Crystal meth is still, across the state, the biggest threat that we have. Opioids has not hit the state of Hawaii yet. We're trying to get ahead of the curve. There's two different task forces that are established across the state involving law enforcement chiefs from across the state, our law enforcement federal partners, DEA, HSI, FBI, Department of Health. We're working with the state on trying to find ways to prevent the opioid problem from hitting the state of Hawaii. It's coming. Everyone knows it's coming. Just when? Can we be prepared for it? Can we address it? That's what we're trying to do. A lot of it is based on education. Some of it is based on prevention, doing what we can to stop it from happening. Everyone has this idea that the opioid problem is mom and dad's drugs in the cabinet and people are using it. That's a small part of it. You have synthetic opioids that are coming out of Mexico, coming out of China, that is a threat to the state, that is a threat to the nation, and it's being recognized. I know the federal government has recently announced that they're going forward with going after the drug companies to try and curtail, make them responsible for having these drugs out on the streets. They also need to look at what's happening of drugs that are being imported.
What about meth then, since it sounds like that's a worse problem? What are the solutions for Hawaii County as far as you can see?
Nothing in Hawaii County is made here. It's being brought in. So we have to take a harder stance. We have to take a stance going back to what was happening in 2005, 6, 7, looking at what is being imported. And that is being looked at across the state as well with our federal partners. I think in February last year, New York Times put out an article, meth is still there. Meth is a killer. Everybody is focusing on opioids, but they're forgetting that meth is still out there. And we haven't.
You know, you mentioned marijuana is an issue, and I imagine it's particularly an issue with impaired driving. That's just what I'm imagining. We have medical cannabis legal here in the state, but what are your concerns or issues about that? Because medical cannabis is legal, but driving impaired is never legal. So how are you addressing that? I don't know if you're adding more drug recognition experts or what, because marijuana is a little trickier than, say, telling if someone's driving with alcohol, because you can measure that, and I'm not sure you can measure marijuana. So just give us a little more detail on the marijuana issues.
As far as identifying marijuana as a drug, I should have said it's the second drug of choice in the state. First being crystal meth, the second being marijuana. And then you move on to the different drugs. It is a challenge statewide. We do have medical marijuana permits out there. Regardless of what anybody says or thinks, law enforcement in the state of Hawaii have never targeted medical marijuana patients. We've targeted the program saying that there are individuals out there taking advantage of the medical marijuana program for their own benefit, for their own profit. Those are issues that come to light. And you bring up driving impaired. If you look at recent legislation that's going through, they're trying to change some of the language in the driving impaired to say drug. What is a drug? What is a substance that's impairing you? Yes, we have had people that are impaired with marijuana alone or other drugs, and it is very difficult to test for. And it's normally either being tested for a urine or a blood sample. You're not testing it with breath like you would with an alcohol. We do have what you refer to DRE, drug recognition experts, across the state, across the nation. Law enforcement is looking at improving on drug recognition experts. Those are individuals that we have trained that identify the impairment, not by smell of alcohol, but actions, what their eyes are doing, what they're saying, how they're acting, all of this comes into play. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure how many DRE experts we do have, but we are training as many as we can.
Yeah, it's sort of a tricky thing. But, you know, Chief Ferrer, you pointed something out that I've talked with County Prosecutor Mitch Roth about, and Prosecutor Ross says that they aren't prosecuting for just marijuana. They just don't. And he said he knows of nobody in state prison just for marijuana. There really aren't any. But driving impaired is a concern.
Yes, it is. I agree with Prosecutor Roth that I don't remember anyone being incarcerated strictly for marijuana. If you look at it, I don't know of any large operations that we've taken out just strictly on marijuana. There was an incident just about a couple, 3 weeks ago in Kau that we recovered, I forget how much marijuana plants from a property, but that wasn't why the officers were there to begin with. They were there for a violent crime issue. It had nothing to do with marijuana. Just so happened they came upon it and the person didn't have permits. So naturally it's confiscated. We do make a criminal complaint. You bring up the concern of driving impaired and fatalities. Last year was a very bad year for Hawaii County in the form of fatalities. So we've directed our operations bureau to go ahead and start looking at what is the cause of the fatalities. What are we looking at? Is it speed? Is it inattention? It's all the above. So how can we target this year? What can we do to put more officers out in the field to target this? Do more roadblocks, do more presence, be more visible out in the community. That's what we're trying to do this year. Hopefully we can take control of the fatalities and do something about it.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. You may join us every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM or listen to the podcast of this and other Island Issues programs online, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about state legislation that will ban certain harmful ingredients in sunscreen with researcher Dr. Craig Downs and ocean advocate Rick Gaffney. Today, we're airing my interview with Hawaii County Police Chief Paul Ferreira, recorded in his office in Hilo last Thursday. Chief Ferreira, what's your sense as to crime in general on Hawaii Island? I know that there have been some statements nationally that crime is going rampant, but statistics have not borne that out. So I'd like your sense of Hawaii County and where we are generally crime-wise.
Well, fortunately for Hawaii County, I believe our property crimes have been going down over the past couple of years. We had an exception last year. There was a large uptake of vehicles being stolen across the island. Other than that, our property crimes were dropping. And recent trends in looking at our statistics for the year end, burglaries have gone down, auto thefts have gone down. Unfortunately, in 2016, I think our violent crimes went up, which is assaults, things of that nature. So overall, I'm looking at our crime rate has gone down. But again, these are crimes that are reported. There is some out there that we don't know about.
Chief, you mentioned auto thefts, and I know that's something that several people sent me emails about, asking me to get more information about what the police are doing about auto thefts.
Our department got inundated with calls for vehicles being stolen, primarily Tacoma pickup trucks, Hondas were being stolen across the island. There was information on social media that this was a 300 club at one time, that these individuals were emulating Grand Theft Auto, the video game, and they were going to steal 300 cars. There were newspaper articles, it was all over social media. So whenever we have a situation like that, or whenever we have a trend like that, what the department will do, and we did this time, is we will create a special task force, special enforcement unit. And it's going to be comprised of detectives from our vice section, our adult crimes and our juvenile crimes. It's going to be comprised of individuals from the patrol division. The special task force, what we'll do is they'll concentrate on these crimes. They'll look at the motives. They'll look at how they operate. They'll look at the individuals themselves because, thank goodness, through social media, sometimes the crooks love to put their pictures on Facebook as well. That's where it does help us. So we were able to target the individuals that were committing these crimes. As a result of the efforts that we had, and it's a result of the community as well, because without the community, we cannot solve crimes. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need the community's help. As a result of that, I believe there were 27 individuals that were arrested in connection with those auto thefts. And included in those crimes, they were arrested for burglaries, home invasions, firearms charges, drug charges, different theft charges. So there were a gamut of crimes that they were committing. After that happened, you saw the drop in the vehicle thefts. Do we still have them? Yes. Is it a crime of opportunity? Yes. But it's nothing like it was 6 or 7 months ago.
When you were first going through accreditation, I actually spoke with your current deputy chief, Kenneth Bugatto, because he was handling accreditation. And he said one of the great things about accreditation was standardization of statistics so that you as the top guys can really look at what the situations are and do an analysis. I read that the police department is involved with installing some kind of cameras in some higher crime areas. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, recently Captain Gelsmer from the Puna District went to the county council and was receiving funds from one of the council members to purchase what they call trail cameras. These are cameras that are similar to what hunters would use or outdoorsmen would use. And we're looking at using these cameras to place in high-profile areas where we have tests from vehicles, or we may have trespassers, or maybe even agricultural tests that we can get look at. This is another tool to help our officers to identify possible culprits. It's been used before in different areas. We do have additional cameras that were purchased through civil defense, through the Homeland Security grant. So we are looking at deploying these as another tool for officers. We don't have what you would call video cameras that are fixed mounted, other than like certain areas of downtown, certain areas in Kailua Kona. These were all obtained through Hawaii Tourism Authority grant some years ago.
I want to turn to the budget. When I did my most recent interview with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim, which aired at the end of January, he implied that one of the reasons that we could not cut the county budget was because of the need to add police. And when he presented his budget to the Hawaii County Council recently, he said, in order to meet the police department's goal to protect life and property, quote, it cannot be fully met without the 7 additional supervisory positions that were requested for a captain in each district and adding 1 officer to each watch in Kau and Puna, which will be 5 additional officers for each district. But in looking at the Hawaii County budget, what I see is that the Hawaii County police budget has been cut, not added. So help us understand, is Hawaii County police actually getting more positions?
Now that you said that, I hope so. I got to say this. The county administration has been very, very supportive of the police department. And Mayor Kim did come out and ask me specifically, what do you need? Now, I know everyone is saying that we need 20 officers in here, we need 20 more officers here. Everyone wants more officers. Well, my first priority is to obtain enough supervisors to ensure that we have a field supervisor on every shift. Right now, we have smaller districts like Kau, Hamakua, North Hilo, North Kohala, even South Kohala, that at times there is no sergeant on duty. There is no supervisor on duty. You have to depend on the adjoining district or someone from Hilo coming forward. That is a liability. And when we did go through accreditation, that was pointed out to us at the very beginning, back in 2012, again in 2015. And if I don't fix it by 2019, it's going to be brought up again. This is a liability on the police department. We've recognized that. One of the ways of fixing that is asking the county administration, I need at least 7 new sergeants to be created. Part of creating the 7 new sergeants is I'm also looking at combining operations in Honoka and North Hilo. We've met with the community several times. All it is combining the operations. Right now, Honoka is a district in itself. It has a captain. North Hilo is a district in itself. It has a lieutenant. But they all report to the captain in Honoka. So all we're going to do is combining the 2 operations, have them all report to Honoka, create 2 new sergeant's positions by taking 2 of the vacant police officer positions and upgrading them, and we can have 24/7 round-the-clock supervision for those districts. We have had some pushback from the community. We have understanding from the community. And in essence, I've told the community, I could do this tomorrow. Nobody would even notice it. The services is not going to be affected. We're not closing the North Hilo station. As far as the other districts, by adding a sergeant to the watch, you actually, in essence, add another body. So you will have 2 patrol officers and a sergeant working. They will have supervision. They don't have to wait for the neighboring district to send a supervisor. That is the top priority right now. I did ask in a supplemental budget, as well as 5 police officers for Puna and 5 officers for Kau. Puna is recognized as the fastest growing district in the state, increasing in population, and because of the land area, and the cost of the property is out there. Same thing in Kau. Kau is building, it's growing. Hawaiian Ocean View Estates is growing rapidly. We need to address those issues. I can ask for 20 officers. I'm not going to get them. I'm not going to be able to train 20 officers that quickly. I can ask for 5. That is a minimum amount of officers I need to put in a district to add one more body on each shift, 24/7. So yes, I did put a supplemental budget in. I also did put a supplemental budget for a dispatch section. We need additional police radio dispatchers. Those are priorities for us.
How about vacancies? Do you have vacancies that are still awaiting fulfillment? Do you have people ready to retire that will create additional vacancies?
Funny you bring that up, because we ended 2017 with a deficit of 24 sworn vacancies. Now, if you're looking at a force of 450, that's quite a bit of numbers. And it was all due to, you know, we had retirements. We had a recruit class that didn't pan out. We had a lot of dropouts. We had officers leaving for other jurisdictions, returning back to Honolulu, returning to the mainland. So that put us behind the eight ball at the end of 2017. We were 24 officers short. We had 12 officers in recruit training at that time. So if you do the math, we had 36 vacancies out in the field. Since then, in February, we hired 22 officers for the 87th recruit class. And in April, we're starting another recruit class, at least 10 officers. So we should be fully staffed. However, I really want to point out that the recruit class that we had 12 officers in, they're going out in the field on March 16th. That'll help. The other recruit class that we have just started in February is not going to hit the streets until December. The recruit class that we're starting in April, you're looking at them not hitting the streets until February. So there will be some time lag.
You know, when I asked about retirements, I look around, and yourself excluded, of course, we have many people with gray hair. A lot of them do have the years or the age necessary to retire, and I really hate to see that happen because it means great turnover.
Yes, it does, and thanks for the compliment, because I do have a lot of gray hair. At last count, I believe we have somewhere in the area of 44 or 45 officers right at this moment, myself included, that could retire right now with more than 25 years of service. The scary part, and I've told this to the police commission and I've said it before, is right now everyone in the department above the rank of captain, with exception of one, is eligible for retirement. So at any given time, if something was to happen, if the legislature was to change the retirement benefits for up and coming retirees, I could lose pretty much the upper echelon of the police department. I could lose a majority of the command staff. Are some of them going out this year? I'm sure they are. Are some of them going out next year? I'm sure they are. So like I explained to the commission, the Hawaii Police Department is in a position right now. We're going to be changing. We're going to be becoming a young department again. We are a young department because of the amount of individuals that we've hired recently in the past years. But our command staff is going to change, which is a good thing. I've been here for 35 years. It's a good thing.
You know, when you talked about this one recruit class that didn't really pan out, which I believe there were 16 who went in and something like 3 or 4 who came out, which was not really a good track record. I'm wondering if there's a way to, I don't know, aggressively recruit or use a cadet program or something like that, something to bring in young people so they move through recruit class in an easier fashion. Because it seems like such a waste of police department energy and money to train people who then can't make it through recruit class.
Unfortunately, if you look at law enforcement or any public safety position, and in fact, if you look at the public sector itself, anytime the economy gets better, and the economy right now is real great for the private sector, public sector suffers. If you can make more money being a construction worker, you can be making more money out in the private sector, why would you put on a uniform and a gun to protect the community for the pay that you receive? So anytime the economy gets better, public safety, the public sector suffers. And we're suffering right now as well. And this is not only Hawaii. This is across the nation. As the economy gets better, it's harder to recruit. You mentioned that recruit class that we lost, 3/4 of the class. It ran a gamut for why they left. It went from, this is not for me, I'm out of shape, I wasn't able to meet the standard. I went through the class. When I actually went out on OJT or field training, I realized, no, I didn't want to work shifts, I didn't want this to be my lifestyle. So it ran the full gamut of why they left. Unfortunately, we ended up with only 4 officers on that take. We do actively recruit, and we push it out there. One of the biggest challenges that I've seen for our recruit classes is Individuals that we do hire, a lot of them are in their 20s, but they're out of shape. Physically, they're not meeting the standards. They don't realize that it is a tasking job, and we do try to prepare our officers in the recruit class for what they have to face out in the field. And when they come into the class, they're in their 20s and 30s, young adults, but physically they're not able to perform. I don't know if it's because of the video games. I don't know what the reason is. And we've had individuals that were high school athletes. And when they came into the recruit class, you expected a lot more from them, but they weren't able to perform the duties. And we're not trying to make triathletes out of them. We just want to get them prepared so that when they do get into a scuffle, that we prevent injuries.
It's funny you mentioned the thing about physical preparedness, because I just read something, a little short article in the Honolulu Star Advertiser, that about 40% of the people between 17 and 24 are not physically able to meet the requirements to be in the military, which you're not probably too dissimilar from the requirements to be Hawaii County Police. So I guess you're seeing what happens to be true nationwide. But I'd also like to say that police officers, I know you have a cool uniform and you get to carry a gun, but most of the officers who I've met at all levels serve because they are oriented towards serving the public and taking care of the island. And I've really personally appreciated my interaction with those kind of folks.
Definitely. And if you look at our officers of today, it's a lot different from when I first came in 82, what they're expected to do, the challenges that they're facing. You have a lot more issues out in the street. The officers are actually asked to do a lot more than just catch the crooks anymore. You have to be a counselor at times. You have to be a psychologist at times. You have to be a minister at times. You have to be able to run the gamut and talk to people. And fortunately for us, we do have a lot of good officers. And I'm not going to paint a picture that we're perfect, because we're far from it. We do have our challenges. We do have our complaints. And we do address them as soon as they come in. But I want to give credit to all the officers that are out there doing their job every single day. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. They give me the strength and the faith to move forward and say, okay, this is why I'm here, is because of what they do out there. That's why I tell people in the community, they say, oh, Chief, you know, thank you for what you do. Thank you for... I said, don't thank me. Thank the officers in the field. They're the ones that do the work. If you have something to complain about, that's when you come to see me. But as far as the accolades, it should go to the beat officers. It should go to the officers in the field, as well as our civilian staff, our support staff. Those are the individuals that are doing the job for you. They're the ones that are making your police department what it is, not the chief.
Chief Paul Ferreira, before we say aloha, tell us about anything else you would like us to know. Challenges, what you think needs to be available to make the police department even better than it is, things that you're concerned about. Share your innermost thoughts.
You know, what's fearful for us, like any law enforcement, the first thing you're concerned about is a recent violence involving firearms. Fortunately for us, the state of Hawaii, and I know the firearm proponents are really going to be upset with me for saying it, but the state of Hawaii, if you look at a whole, has the strictest gun laws across the nation, and we appreciate that. You cannot openly carry a firearm out in public. You cannot carry a concealed weapon out in public unless you're a law enforcement officer or affiliated with a law enforcement agency. For the state of Hawaii, there hasn't been, as my understanding, there hasn't been a concealed carry permit issued across the state by any of the county police departments. There's recent legislation that's going through that federal government wants to allow anyone with a concealed carry permit, regardless of what state they got it in, to come into any other state and move around freely. I understand that our legislature, thank you, has sent a resolution to the federal government saying that we're against that for the state of Hawaii, that we don't want that to be allowed. Not knowing who's carrying a firearm out there is a challenge for any law enforcement officer. And I know the proponents said that it'll put more guns in the street, you get more protection, they can help law enforcement when it happens. Well, I take you back to the ambush shooting in Texas when the officers got ambushed. My understanding from the news accounts is that there were 5 or 6 individuals in the area that had concealed carry permits, that had weapons on them, that did not come to the aid of any of the officers. And when asked why, they said they were fearful of being shot by law enforcement for shooting, hence the challenge. If you have a lot of people out there with guns, we don't know who they are. We don't know if you're the bad guy or you're there to assist us. So you create another challenge for the officer out in the field. That is the most fearful thing. The other thing that is of concern, I'm going to upset everybody else with this, is social media. I wish people would be more responsible in their use of social media. If you look at the recent threats that were made at the schools, it got blown out of proportion because of Facebook, Instagram, and all those other entities. Social media definitely does have a place. I agree. We've used it. We use it to our advantage. Community uses it to its advantage to report crimes. It does have a place. But I want people to be responsible. It isn't a responsible action to drive past a fatality accident scene and post those pictures on Facebook. Because I tell people, what if it was your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, your parents? Would you want to be notified on Facebook that they died? And that has happened. And unfortunately, the police department gets blamed. Why did you post those pictures? Well, we did not post those pictures. That is another challenge for law enforcement. And I will say again, you know, as far as the challenges that we face here in Hawaii are minimal. In comparison to the nation, we are very well off. People in Hawaii County, across the state, is very well off. And the Hawaii Police Department is second to none in the state, and it is because of the men and women of the department.
Chief Paul Ferreira, thank you so much for your time today. Aloha.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer, and this is Island Issues. Our conversation today was with Hawaii County Police Chief Paul Ferreira. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.